A court in Russian-controlled East Ukraine has sentenced to death two British men, Aidan Aslan and Sean Pinner, on charges of terrorism after a days-long process that observers have condemned as a show trial. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Liz Cookman, who's a freelance journalist and contributor to The Guardian and The Washington Post. Liz, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. You were in contact with both Sean and Aidan earlier this year. Just tell us a little bit about how they ended up fighting in Ukraine.
Yeah, so I interviewed them both in early February, just before the invasion, and I spoke to them about the conditions and how they ended up in Ukraine. And they both actually joined the Marines in 2018. Aidan Aslan had previously been in Syria, whereas Sean Pinner was previously part of the British military. They joined in 2018. They carried out some training, and I think it took 3 months before they're allowed to fully join the Ukrainian military as officially paid members. And then their three-year contract was up in last year, and they both renewed for 1 year. And as far as I know, actually, Sean Pinner was scheduled to retire in December, but unfortunately now he's in a DPR prison.
Tell me a bit about him, about why he decided to go to Ukraine in the first place.
So he'd left the British military. He was working in London. He didn't like the kind of the long hours, the commuting. He really liked traveling. And he told me that he had some friends who were in Ukraine, and it seemed like a good option for him. He was ready to kind of settle down as well. And so he traveled to Ukraine in 2018. He later met and married a woman from Mariupol, and he made Mariupol his kind of adopted homeland.
And then the backstory for Aidan Aslan. Tell me a little bit about why he ended up there.
So he was previously fighting in Sinjar. He was fighting against ISIS. And he also, that conflict had kind of wound down, but he had also, he told me that he'd been kind of keeping an eye on Ukraine since the Maidan protests, and he'd taken an interest in people's kind of fight for freedom here. And so he was inspired to then come to Ukraine himself and sign up to undertake military training.
And his family have said that contrary to the Kremlin propaganda, he's not a volunteer, a mercenary or a spy. They say he's a much loved young man with a strong network of friends around him and a loving wife to be. Will you tell me a little bit about your perception of Aidan?
Yeah, he's a young, vivacious kind of guy. He has quite a strong social media following. He's like a lot of young people, quite larger than life character. He didn't really like to speak too much about his family because the separatists had previously released a lot of details about his private life and people close to him, and he was worried it would put them in danger. I occasionally speak to his friend who now runs his social media accounts, and his family are all, you know, deeply concerned about him, and but they are fighting very hard to make sure that his cause doesn't go unnoticed or forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the conversation you had with Sean just at the beginning of the invasion, he was describing to you life in Ukraine as a soldier, and it was tough even before all of this started.
Yeah, so he sent me images of his life on the front line, which was essentially trench warfare, and it's very, very cold in winter. The trenches would fill up with water every single day. It was a task to keep cleaning out the trenches, rebuilding the trenches. They, temperatures would get as low as minus 13, minus 15, and they were dealing with constant bombardment in Mariupol even before the invasion. And separatists would lay traps for them. They would, drones would come over. It was very difficult. For example, I remember him and other soldiers telling me that even if they got up in the night to try and go to the toilet, they might get hit by a sniper. So you had to be on guard all the time.
But as you were writing on Twitter, he loved Ukraine in the summertime.
He loved Ukraine in the summertime, yeah. He said the beaches were amazing. The weather, as it is now, is very good. And he said that there was a level of freedom in Ukraine, in his opinion, that he didn't feel that he got in the UK, which meant he could sort of make fires on the beach, he could go for picnics and really enjoy the nice weather.
Mm-hmm. But then we saw images of the men just after this trial that emerged yesterday. Can you describe to us how they looked and how they appeared?
They both seem to have lost a lot of weight, especially Sean. And Aidan shows signs that he has been beaten or there's some kind of scarring on him, so it looks like something that's happened to him. Sean told me even before, like, I was still in communications with both of them, but particularly Sean, until early March when communications were cut in Mariupol. And he said even then, you know, that they were very hungry. They were running away from Russians for days. He made jokes about how he could murder a burger, particularly from this restaurant in Mariupol called Beer Killer, which was very well known for its meat. Unfortunately, it's not there anymore. But yes, he looks very slim. He looks very pale. They don't look like the kind of strong soldiers that they were in February even.
Do you know anything about their capture, Liz? Were they targeted because they weren't from Ukraine or Russia?
There is some speculation that they are great propaganda tools for Russia to use as leverage against the UK, but I don't think anybody knows that they were specifically targeted. They were fighting on the front lines in Mariupol. They were part of a Marine unit that surrendered. They are not the only ones that are in captivity. There's, I think, 2,500 other Ukrainian soldiers from Mariupol in captivity. So they just attract particular attention because they're British.
There are efforts underway now to find a diplomatic solution, but the British government clearly has to be very careful when it's engaging with the Russians on this. What do you think the outlook is for these two men?
Well, they have 1 month in which they can launch an appeal. And that means that their case could be, or their sentence, sorry, could be turned into a 25-year sentence instead of a death penalty. But many people hope that with the right kind of negotiations and the right offers from the UK, that they'll be able to free them. But also most people believe that that's what Russia want in the first place, that they have no intention of actually putting these guys to death, but they just want gains from the UK.
Liz, thank you very much for talking to us this morning and telling us about those two men. That's Liz Cookman.